50,000 Fulton County voters got letters saying they may be declared inactive. They did not update the address on their voter registration cards. The Georgia ACLU is threatening legal action against the state, claiming it's in violation of the Voter Registration Act of 1993. So what is really going on here? Joining us to sort it out is Andra Gillespie, Emory University political science professor. Hi, Andra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Part of the reason this is so fraught at this moment is because alleged voter suppression, and voter registration is included in that, is a big part of political strategy. Has that always been the case?
Well, it's not unusual to hear about a voter purge, and a purge in and of itself is not necessarily illegal. It is periodic that states, and this happens all over the country, will reach out to voters who haven't voted in a long period of time to verify that they're still there. They want to be sure that they haven't moved, and they want to be sure that they haven't died.
It's just part of updating records.
Part of updating records, and when they don't hear back from you, then you get put on the inactive list. It doesn't mean you can't vote, but they are flagging you to see whether or not you vote in another allotted period of time. And then if you don't vote within that allotted period of time, some states will actually just pull you off of the rolls entirely, assuming that you either don't live there anymore or that you're deceased.
We have a statement here from the state. Excuse me. This is from Candace Brose, press secretary, the Georgia Secretary of State's office. They say, quote, under federal and state law, we are required to conduct regular maintenance of Georgia's voter rolls. It ensures our records are accurate and works to preserve the integrity of our electoral system. This is not the first time our processes have been challenged, and I doubt that it will be the last. Nonetheless, it's our duty to keep the voter rolls up to date, and we will vigorously defend this duty in the face of opposition. So why would this ever be even seen as some kind of voter suppression?
So here are the questions that need to be asked, I think, for any type of voter purge. Is it being done uniformly across a particular jurisdiction?
Right. Why is it focused on Fulton County?
Yeah. Is it being done, you know, if it's being done uniformly, does it look like a particular population is being targeted as a result of this purge? So if there are things that look like certain people are being disproportionately subject to purging and being declared inactive, then those are the types of things that would raise a red flag that would then cause people to want to ask questions and to want to litigate.
So as I mentioned, the ACLU has said they may file suit. We have a statement from the ACLU of Georgia, which says, quote, this is a textbook case of modern day voter suppression and it needs to stop. Instead of simply updating Stacey's address as the law requires, Stacey is one of the people included in this potential suit. Georgia officials sent her a threatening notice saying her voter registration was at risk. This bureaucratic red tape falls hardest on low-income families and people of color, making it harder for them to vote just months before important municipal elections. They're talking about the language here that the state used, and you're nodding your head. Why is the language the state used in their notice at issue here?
Well, I mean, I think the issue here is how a reasonable person would interpret that. So if I got that as somebody who studies this stuff, as somebody who has witnessed and has done research on, you know, purge voter rolls, it wouldn't be something that's shocking to me. I understand that it is not something that's particularly alarming. But imagine that this is your first interaction kind of with the state post-voter registration, and you get language that almost tells you like you can't vote anymore, even though that's not what they're telling you. Exactly. It could have a chilling effect on your likelihood to turn out to vote. It may make you think that you're in trouble. You may not necessarily go follow up to, you know, register your address or to make sure that you stay on the voter rolls. So for those who are advocates of voting rights and who are anti-voter suppression, they want to make sure that in every aspect of the process, from how easy the process is to how often you have the ability to be able to vote, to the language that one uses when you're doing maintenance, that it's all being done in a way to help the constituent, to help the client sort of feel, you know, as empowered and to make the process as easy for them as possible.
And I should mention, since we talked about demographics a little, that Fulton County, not surprisingly, is almost evenly split between white and black. There's also other races there, Asian, tiny portion of Indian, American Indian and Hispanic and Latino as well. But mostly we're talking a very high concentration of African Americans, which I assume is part of the reason people are suspicious of the effort. But there's no indication at this point that it's because of the demographics that caused the state to send out these notices?
So, I mean, so I think that's the question that I think is going to have to be raised as sort of people decide how to proceed with this. So if it looks like all of the people who got this notice were in East Point, for instance, and that there are people who were in a similar situation who hadn't voted for a long period of time in Alpharetta or Sandy Springs or Johns Creek who weren't getting the same type of notices, that's a huge red flag. But if a person in Alpharetta and a person in East Point have an equal probability of getting this notice, and in fact, just given the fact that it's a county, everybody who hadn't voted in a few years is getting this notice, then I think it's going to be a harder case to make that there's something discriminatory going on.
For those listening, Alpharetta is predominantly white. East Point is predominantly black. That's why we're mentioning those. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Andra Gillespie, political science professor at Emory University. At this point, how likely is it that any attempt to purge the voter rolls, which, as you say, is relatively normal, is going to be seen as some kind of voter suppression?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if voting rights advocates look at any type of purge as being suspicious. But it is part of the normal process. It's part of sort of the normal maintenance that goes into what's going on. So I think just voters need to be educated about the fact that registering to vote is one thing, but your vote is public record, and people do pay attention to whether or not you actually vote in elections. And so if you go long periods of time and you don't vote in, you know, congressional elections and presidential elections for a long period of time or anything in between, people then start to wonder whether or not you actually still live at that address. So it's important to make sure that once you register, that you do in fact turn out to vote, and that you turn out regularly and you keep your records up to date.
Here's a comment from Atlanta NAACP President Richard Rose. He was speaking to Channel 2 about the voter ID lawsuit. This is a separate one filed against Georgia's Secretary of State during the 2016 election.
And this is just another trick, another way to limit people. And so this is just a new wrinkle that the Secretary of State unfortunately has adopted to try to continue to suppress voting rights.
And I want to play one more comment from you. Earlier this year in Hancock County, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights filed suit against the county. That's Hancock County. It summoned black voters to verify their identity. So here's Roland Martin on TV1 reporting about that in May.
Dozens of black voters in Georgia will get their voting rights back after they were snatched from the voting rolls. The move concludes a dispute between Hancock County and the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. County officials sent sheriff's deputies to summon black voters to appear before them and prove they lived in the county. Because of the action, it said the board deemed ineligible more than 5% of the city's 988 registered voters. The Lawyers Committee said the methods violated the law, and now the county has agreed to a settlement.
How crippled are watchdog groups like the ACLU or the Lawyers Committee at this point because of the changes that the Supreme Court made in the Voting Rights Act?
Well, actually, they're not, because those would fall under separate sections of the Voting Rights Act. So, you know, what we can't do based on Shelby County versus Holder anymore is have states who were under a Voting Rights Act having to do pre-clearance. So anytime that they, you know, move a voting precinct from, you know, one school to another school, or anytime they drew district lines, they had to get it approved by the Justice Department before it would go into effect. So that, you know, that part has been enjoined by the Supreme Court decision until Congress rewrites the Voting Rights Act to define who falls under preclearance, because that's the issue, was the definition of who fell under preclearance was deemed old and outdated. If you look at John Roberts' opinion, Section 2 is still fully in effect. So you can't do things to try to deny people their voting rights that, you know, on their face look like they're racially, religiously or national origins motivated. So if these things are still happening, then you can still bring Section 2 claims against, you know, against counties, against municipalities for things that they're doing. And so, you know, I'm not familiar with the Hancock County case, but if they're, you know, are asking blacks to come in,
they were,
and they're not asking whites to go in, that's problematic. And then also the fact that you're asking people to kind of come in and of itself, I think strikes people as shocking. One of the things that, you know, I learned as a result of some work that a student of mine, Madeline Brown, was doing for her senior thesis this past year, was that in Georgia, if you think that somebody is voting illegally, so for instance, you think that there's an abandoned apartment building where there are people who are registered to vote, but yet they're still turning out to vote at this address that's clear clearly not occupied, citizens themselves can actually bring, can actually challenge the voting rights of people. And so that's an interesting thing to know, that sometimes citizens use this against each other as a means of being able to, you know, try to, you know, deny people their voting rights. And sometimes, you know, if you think it's because of actual voting fraud, you know, that may be legitimate, but this may be something as a policy standpoint we may want to reconsider about whether or not people use this against each other or have the opportunity to use it against each other.
The bottom line is that if the state is doing a routine purging of voter rolls to make sure that their records are up to date and that it's equitable, it's not targeted at any one demographic or political party, then there's nothing to be concerned about here.
Right.
Move along.
Right. I mean, there might be people who don't like the idea of a purge in and of itself, but they're within their right to do it.
On the other hand, there have been times in American political history when purges have been used to knock a bunch of certain party voters off voter rolls, right?
So what I would say is that what you need to look at is whether or not there looks like a group is being disproportionately targeted. And so if it looks like a group is being disproportionately targeted, then I think you need to question the motivations behind that, and then litigation would be appropriate.
But your advice to voters themselves is A, keep your address updated, but also vote.
Keep your address updated, for sure. Make sure you vote, because you don't have to worry about being declared inactive if you regularly go vote. And then if you do get challenged and somebody does try to deny your right to vote, you have the right to demand a provisional ballot, and then you can get it straight the next day. So under any circumstances, if anybody ever denies you the right to vote, demand the provisional ballot on the spot. And then the next day, if you need to go take an ID someplace or you need to demonstrate your residency someplace else, you can handle that the day after the election.
Okay, good advice from Andra Gillespie, as always. She is political science professor at Emory University. Andra, you're going to stick around. Yep. We still have more to talk about. New study says people who fly the Confederate battle flag often know very little about Confederate history. But first, Andra sticks around to talk about why congressional incumbents get reelected and reelected and reelected and reelected. This is On Second Thought.